All right, here we are in the in sales as story part one, bonus segment, right? Bonus segment. And that's because of your question, Karen. And again, for those listening on the recording, they'll understand what's going on here. So taking some extra time to answer a really important sales question so we can see how it works on the court. And then we'll have more to come in part two next week. And again, it gives me another opportunity to underline, don't wait for the next segment. And even if we couldn't have worked this out, Karen could just go and do it. She can just go and do it. But then here's a nice place to intervene with some specific training around a really specific question to help her in a conversation that's happening on the court now. So Karen, can you succinctly tell them, you know, basically what you sent to me so that they can hear in 30 seconds or less what the, you know, initial question is and why you're asking her?
Okay.
Because I want them to catch up with what I already gave you so far, and then we'll take it from there.
I am a certified cancer journey coach, and I had someone approach me Tuesday about doing cancer journey coaching with one of their clients. I stopped doing cancer journey coaching about 2 or 3 years ago because my clients couldn't pay. And I did a lot of pro bono work, but I found that they didn't show up to the calls. And I won't do that anymore because if they don't even skin in the game, then they don't show up. So this foundation.
Listen to you. Actually, before you say more, and I know I said 30 seconds, but I'm going to pause you there because there's so much to learn in that. Like, who are you and what have you done with the previous version of Karen? Like, this is so beautiful. Loved her too. Well, this is just so aligned. Can you hear it? I want to slow it down so you can all hear it. Like, because we such heart-centered souls. It's like we want to give our stuff away, and people don't value it. And so what a disservice not to charge what it's like, the deep value of it, because then people value it. Then people actually can take action on it, and then they actually get the transformation that they so are seeking. And how you're owning that is so beautiful. Thank you. And I'm not saying don't give stuff away. Don't. In fact, just earlier today, Yvonne and I were talking about a project that we might have something to do with that would be a pro bono work, not directly related to our field, but that we're doing in our spare time. It's not our business. You know what I mean? Help people, of course, and strategically have structures that allow people to go even from free into something where it's a paid thing. Like, you know, speaking at eWomen, for instance, is that for me, right? It's free, but there's a possibility for people to step forward if they want. So it's got to have a structure to follow, and so that they can go from free to something that's an investment when it's for your business. So a lot to learn just from that first piece that Karen said. I just wanted to underline that. Thank you for that. Beautiful. All right. And then?
And then, so as a part of my process to seats on the my shop room floor, I've been looking at doing relationship coaching and that type of work for this, my product offering. But I can do this work without having to study or do anything. It's like riding a bike. And their foundation pays cancer patients' bills when they can't pay their bills. So when I met her, she said, I have a cancer patient right now that needs your support as a cancer coach. Call me right away. And let's talk. I have a lot of people that could use your services. So I'm thinking maybe I'll do this again because I love the work. I'm a cancer survivor and it's so needed and appreciated. So my question to Michelle was how to price it.
Right. And so there's more. Yeah. And there's more behind this too, that there's both a possibility and a danger for your company and your life. And sometimes we've got somebody in front of us. Like, let me see. The analogy with my mom is a really, really good one. So it's not, I wouldn't be saying don't do that, but you could do or not do. It's up to you. But if you're going to do it, even though you're asking about pricing, I'm going to talk about something deeper that's going to really affect your company. If you're going to do it, you want to do it in a coherent way that otherwise you're going to end up helping that person, but injuring your company and therefore injuring your work in the world. Not worth it. All right. So here's the analogy. My mom sees, like we were just talking about in the previous segment, right? My mom sees somebody, she's a nurse, they're lying bleeding in the street. And maybe my mom in this analogy is really strong. She's Canadian. She's not strong because she's Canadian, but she's Canadian. We live in the snow here, and it's just what Canadians do. We push each other out of the snow. It happens all the time. You know, somebody's stuck. And no matter who they are, if somebody's stuck, we just go and push them out of the snow in a really big, bad snowstorm, right? At least that's where I come from. So let's say my mom is there. She's standing there in the street. It's a cold, snowy day. And there's a person there about to bleed to death. We'll leave off the choking this time. Oh, like graphic analogy that came up with me, but I'm just trusting it. So there's the person. They're bleeding into the snow. And there's somebody who needs their car pushed out of the ditch. Karen, could it be like this at this moment? What you are doing is relationship coaching. That's what you put your stake in the ground for. That's what you do. It's like my mom being a nurse. So I'm not saying don't do it, but how you do it really is going to matter. If it were my mom wanting to push that person out of the snow, in that analogy, boy, don't do it. Because as you're pushing that person out of the snow, that person's going to die. Right? So I'm not saying that the analogy is perfect for this, but I want you to think of it that the analogy is really good because I want you to think of it that strongly. Like over here, maybe there's a bunch of people who are in the snow. I don't know, a bad thing happened and they got cut and they're all going to bleed to death. And I, instead of trusting that and going over there and doing my work, I go, or my mom's in this case, right? She goes to push that person out of the snow because she's heart-centered and somebody called for help. And the more we up-level our lives and up-level, I use the language of vibration. The more we up-level who we're playing with and what we're doing in the world, people are going to start calling you to do more different things. You're going to start having partners who want to partner with, do partnerships with you. You're going to start, I think of Mary Kay partnering, this happened months ago, you know, partnering with somebody to do a talk. And I'm like, do your own work, right? People are going to be coming to you wanting things, right? Just because there's somebody in need. And I will give you a way through so that you can do this. If you obviously, if you want to do it, go do it, right? It's your life. But I want it to do you to do it so that, like, the analogy would be like, if my mom were living in some George Orwellian place, and if she pushes somebody out of the snow, now she's defined as a snow pusher and she's no longer allowed to be a nurse and she loses the possibility to help them. Like, it's that stark. I want you to think of it that starkly as you do your work and you stay in your lane. You go, but Michelle, what about all the stuff I have lying around on the shopping floor? Yes, you want to know what it is, but you want to channel it into one thing. Otherwise, people get confused about who we are and then nobody comes and we're not helping them. Because in the analogy, it would be like somebody goes like, oh my goodness, people need somebody push out of the snow and somebody's bleeding to death. Who should we call? Well, Mark, I don't know if she's a snow pusher or a nurse. So we can't call her. We're going to call for the other person who's down the street. That's actually what happens. Because we don't know who that person is anymore. And they've got to make snap decisions and they're confused about who they are. And they go to the other person. We don't want that to happen to you. Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't say all that in a short message.
Yeah. Like triaging.
Exactly. So you want to stay in your lane. So, you know, the first.
Well, I see it as I'm deciding what lane I want to be in. So part of me is like, well, let me do that again. I haven't done it in 2 or 3 years. A cancer client. And I love the work.
I want to stop you there. And look how much momentum there is. Wanting to go. And I want you to go back to the question. I think it was in office hours with Anna Maria. And we've been working with you, Anna Maria, for a while. This is two different things. Like, we have momentum for the things we do. And I just wanted to stop you right there, even if you don't like it, but I stop you, all right? Because I'm not saying you can't do this, but I want you to think of it as that starkly important how you do it, and then I'll give you a way how to do it, all right? But it's like, it's analogous to Anna Maria. It's like, Anna Maria, for your offer, you could either be helping people compete and do well, moving and trusting their horses and themselves, or you could help them buy that next level horse, and your offer is one or the other. Anna Maria is really, really freaking great at both of them, but she just has to choose. Now, later on, she gets to, and Anna Maria, I was so proud of you and what you came to on Friday in and around that, right? So you chose, and then you can build the other part later as an upsell. So with that conversation's in Slack, you'll be able to see that, right? Anna Maria chose one, and then she's creating the other as an upsell. So, and you don't want to offer things side by side. I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying this is, compared to, like, what you're going to price it at, this is the most foundational thing for your company. that will change how your company goes in the next few months and years, right? So when we spoke earlier, you had put your stake in the ground, Karen, very firmly for relationship coaching. I'm not saying that you can't do the cancer coach. I'm going to give you a route through, right? So I don't want you to be your editor to be too much of a fuss about this, right? But you did stick your stake in the ground for relationship coaching, correct? Are you still, like, do you still feel that way? Because what you don't want to do is flip-flop too. So you just got to pick a horse and ride it, go for it, right? Relationship coaching, and it could be, and you talked about working with business women, right? Is that still, you know, and helping them in maybe it's relationship with team, we're still working on that piece of it, right? But is that still, and what you did so beautifully at eWomen, is that still what you want to do? Because if flip-flopping, you'll end up flip-flopping for the next year, do you know what I mean? Or 10 years, or you'll watch people in the industry doing that and their companies get stuck. So relationship coaching, how are you feeling about that right now? Just the honest answer.
The answer to that question is I'm walking around my showroom floor right now. I'm the last week and a half, I'm just being with myself and trying on the different hats. I'm reading through the material of all my different coaching certifications to feel what feels best for me. And I hadn't
got it. And that's an answer in deep integrity, right? That's an answer in deep integrity, right? You don't want to be there for the next year or even 6 months or even 3 months or even 2 months or 1 month. But that's, you know, I can tell by the way you said it too, that's coming from deep integrity. And that's okay. Let's say you put your, and let me just show you how to do this. And then whatever you decide, you'll be able to apply it. Even if you decide that, because it could be one thing, you've got your hat as a relationship coach and you're going to go with that. Somebody comes to you with a cancer question, or you've got your hat as a cancer specialist, like as a cancer coach. And then somebody comes to you with relationship, whatever it is, you've got so many certifications, you're going to bump into this again. And I want to give you teach you how to fish so you can handle it now and other times, right? And it's very similar to Anna Maria's, right? And it's like Heidi, like Ethan's physical village. In order to do what you're doing, maybe it'll be built later on, right? But maybe you will, maybe you won't, but you can't do that and yet, like, you have to choose, right? You have to choose. Biggest thing Katie learned in the work that we did for 3 years, don't stand at the crossroads, choose. After 3 years of deep dive work, right? So let me show it to you like this. And then the price point, that's the easy part, not a problem. I can help you with that in a minute, right? But the putting your stake in the ground and choosing, let's say you put your stake in the ground. One example could be helping women entrepreneurs have better relationships. I'm just pulling this one out of the, not completely out of the air, but a little bit, with their team. So that's a certain level of growth already in their company so that they can get to the next level. That's one company. You could build different ones, but I'm giving you one example. Or it might be helping, I know I'm over here in a relationship. I know you're asking about cancer, but hang tight for a second. It could be helping women entrepreneurs have better relationships with women entrepreneurs who are speakers, have better relationships with hosts of events so that they can get booked. You know, you might go, but I'm not a speaking coach, but you know, like you would specialize in that area of relationship and you have a lot to give in that area. It could be that, right? So whatever you choose, I gave a couple different examples. Don't build both, start with one, right? Let's say you were building that and now somebody comes and asks for cancer coaching. If you're not going to flip-flop, and this is the most important thing, like don't flip-flop, right? Like Anna Marie, if she goes, no, maybe I'm going to go for selling the horse after all. No, maybe I'm going to go for the, and she'll send out mixed energy to the universe and she'll get mixed energy back. And people will come to her saying something like, Anna Maria, I was thinking about buying a horse, but I really want to enter this competition. I'm not sure what I should do. I think I should go eat chips. You know, like, she will get people who are undecided. And I go, Anna Maria, I really want to work with you, but there's something in me I just can't decide, you know, but Anna Maria decided and now decisive people or people who are able to decide will come to her, right? So you want decisiveness. And also before you have that conversation with them, you want to close any open loops that you've got. And this gives me a chance to give this training to you. close open loops. So if you go, wow, I can't decide to have what for dinner. I can't decide what cornflakes to have, this kind or that kind. I can't decide if I'm going to buy this house or not buy this house. I can't decide if I'm going to buy this lottery ticket or not. What's going to happen when that person comes to you and you could actually really serve them? What are they going to be saying probably? I can't decide. And I can't decide is going to be a no. So you want clarity when you're in the conversation and just choose. And remember too that when you choose, it's, you know, once you're working with one or two people, you might go, wow, I don't like this field at all. And then the next person that enters in, you get to course correct. So it's not, oh my goodness, I'm setting up for the rest of my life. I'm afraid, I think I won't choose. You go, you do the work, and you'll find, I mean, for all I know, it's going to be women entrepreneurs who suffered a health issue and can't talk to people anymore. Do you see how that might be how you're, you know, because they're so harmed by that horrible cancer journey or whatever it is, that they have trouble even relating to people, and now they're having trouble building their team. I don't know. It can come together in creative ways. And you took on one person on the cancer journey, you're like, oh, I want to do that again, or I want them to have a forward motion. I want them to be entrepreneurs as well. It will come together in creative ways, in ways deeper than you know. But you choose and you follow the work, and it could be that there's an amalgamation that's coming later. So I want you to be at ease with, you know, choosing. Don't and go back to the offer creation retreat, because that piece about how it interacts with real people is really crucial here. All right. So let's say you wanted to do you're putting your stake in the ground for relationship coaching. And then somebody comes to you because people are going to be attracted to your like growing and beautiful energy, and you're going to have people asking for all kinds of things. You're going to have to stay the course and choose. And then you can take it as a sign from the universe that you're on the right track. All right. You can say yes or no to that person. Let's say you decide to say yes. And the other thing is, you go into the strategy session. It really is an investigation. And maybe they want you to design a program. And maybe they want you to do this pro bono work first. Or maybe and you go, not for me. Strategy session is an investigation. You're interviewing that person to see if you want to work with them. No harm in doing that if they're somewhere in your ideal client zone and you want to see. All right. Being on the course, having those calls, that's a great, great thing. You want to do that. So let's say you put your stake in the ground for relationship coaching. Then, like, here's an example. Let's say Anna Maria, she's put her stake in the ground for winning competitions. And somebody walks right up to her as they have with you and goes like, Anna Maria, I desperately want to buy a $100,000 horse. You are the exact person that I want to help with this. Anna Maria would not say yes automatically. She'd sit down and have a strategy session with them and say, let's see if and how I can serve you. And then they'd have that conversation, and maybe she's going to find out they want to do terrible things to the horse or whatever it is, or they just want to beat that other person because to get revenge, because then she's going to go, no, thank you. Or maybe in the course of the conversation, she's going to find out that they want to buy it because they really want to win the competition in an authentic way with a great horse. So they start doing her work that she's put the stake in the ground for. They came for one thing, but they're going to end up with a different thing. Or maybe she's going to go, yeah, maybe in that case, she's actually going to say, that's my upper level work. I haven't even got there yet. But hey, and she thinks coherently about her business. I'd love to help you with this horse, but I really, you know, I don't want to leave you with a horse that is poorly trained or whatever it is. And you have also said that you really want to compete with this horse. Do you want to do the work? But what if, and then she was already offering her high level package because she's staying in her lane. It's like, do you want to do the, do you want to buy the horse and we'll do the work on the way so that you can get the most out of that horse? And now she has both level one and level two. So I'm trying to give you and Karen, you might still be going, you might be frustrated at this point. You're like, you haven't answered my question yet. I mean, let me get to the question, but these are the most foundational things. Hang with me. All right. And So now I'll get to the explicit question, then we can get to the price afterward, you know, in a moment. So now you have a person coming in, and as the universe is going to send you more and more people. When I left teaching university, that's when the university offered me the best courses at the best times in the easiest way. The universe will also tempt you back, right? And then I'm like, no, I am becoming an entrepreneur. That's what I want to do. You're going to have to do that sometimes. In this case, let's say you really like this person. It looks like a really great possibility. Then you do the strategy session. Let's say you put your stake in the ground. And I said this a little bit in writing, but I need to say it more fully so that we really get how important this is. And then you make the decision that's going to build your company. which builds your work, which helps you serve those bleeding people, right? So let's say you've put your stake in the ground for relationship coaching for people with our teams who are women who are entrepreneurs, for instance. As you go in, I want you to think of it like that. Maybe you're going to find out that this person who has cancer is an entrepreneur. You're not going to say, hey, I want to build your company. I mean, that's out of integrity. You're going to meet them where they are. And you're not going to try to do a bait and switch. I'm not trying to say anything like that. I'm trying to say that as you come into it, let's say about relationship. Well, I used to teach at Wellspring, as you know, Karen, you know, I used to teach at Wellspring, which was a center for people on the cancer journey and those supporting them. So I taught in the field for years. And people on the cancer journey, I know from that experience, one of the things they encounter is it's impossible to communicate with anybody. It's really hard. This is what my people told me. Because one of the conversations that happens, so I'm thinking about cancer with a relationship hat on right now. Because I want you to stay in your lane. You get to choose your lane. It's up to you, but choose one. And so let's say, and it could be the other way around too. You could start from cancer and think about relationship or vice versa. But you got to choose your lane. And I'm going to show you how it would work with working with somebody on the cancer journey. I know from the experience of working with cancer people on the cancer journey that, well, at least what they told me is, the moment that they're telling people their diagnosis, it's horrendous. Because all of a sudden people are devastated. And now the person on the cancer journey is consoling that person about their potential loss of the person who has cancer and maybe is even going to die or whatever it is, right? That sucks. That's awful. That is a deep part of the cancer journey that that person is needing to negotiate. Now they might even be frightened of how do they tell that there's a communication thing? How do they tell their family because they're afraid of the reaction? How do they... I don't know what this person's circumstance is. Maybe they know it's terminal and they're going to die in 6 months, they think. It's like, how do they go and talk to the person who is the, to arrange for what their service is going to be and how that's, you know, maybe that's what's on their mind. It's like horrible and devastating. And those are difficult conversations to have. Maybe they want someone to come with them to make those arrangements. Oh my goodness. Communication and relationship all over the place because they're on the cancer journey. It could be also they have a bunch of negative people around them and they're all saying you're going to die because that's what the doctor said. And they're even pushy about it and awful in subtle and, you know, even passive aggressive ways that are awful, right? It's like, no, the doctor told you this. So stop fighting it and start making peace with this because otherwise you're going to upset the family. And people do all kinds of weird things on the cancer journey. And yeah, I know you know better than I do. You know, I've taught it, right? So then it might be negotiating the communication difficulties of all the naysayers who are saying like you or hey, people get forceful too. It's like you have X kind of cancer. Of course you've got to do chemo. Why aren't you doing chemo? You will die otherwise. Or it could be the other people on the other side. Why aren't you going that natural route? That chemo will kill you. And then they're negotiating all this and it's exhausting. So you can see that journey through the lens of relationship if you want. Now, they don't even need to know that that's how you're seeing it. They know they got in touch with you because they know about your cancer journey work. But if you really put your hat on as, for example, a relationship coach, and you could flip it and do the other way, but you can't flip-flop. Don't flip-flop, your company will not grow. I don't say things like that directly very often, but it's one of the biggest mistakes I see entrepreneurs making. Which card should I pull out of my, if they're networking? Because here I'm an interior designer and I also clean rugs and I also walk dogs. Nobody is listening. People won't listen because they're going to go to the person who only walks dogs, right? Thanks, Heidi. They will go to the person who only walks dogs because they think that that's the person who really knows what they're doing. So, and it's what, in honesty, each of you would do. If you have, you know, I don't know what it is, if you have cancer and you know that there's somebody who teaches people how to play billiards and they also are an Olympic swimmer and on the side they do a little bit about cancer, then, you know, here's a person who's only done that always, they're going to go to that person. It's different from this. It's not, I'm not trying to give you an editor about this. It's like you already know a ton from your own cancer journey and from all the cancer work that you've done. So, and you're like amazingly qualified for that, right? But if you need to put your stake in the ground for what you do, and then once you've done that, you will see the other things through the lens of that. You'll use all what's lying around on your shopping floor, but you're going to see it through the one lens. And then when they come to you in the strategy session, you're going to be asking questions around that part. And you're going to be listening too. They go, no, I communicate perfectly with everybody, but I doubt that's going to happen. And you're not even necessarily going to be asking how you communicate. You might go, how's it going? Oh, my sister's so mad at me, or my sister's because I made this choice, or my, you know, or I'm feeling such grief because I think I'm going to die, or whatever it is. All communication with themselves now, right? So Karen, is that helping with how you stay in one lane, but still in integrity can do something else, but you build your company and don't end up like my mom pushing people in the snow?
Yeah, yeah. The reality is what you're outlining for me is great. I have all this bag of toolkit that I can offer. It's just deciding what I'm putting on the front door that people walk in through. I don't have to tell them if I start relationship coaching and they get diagnosed with cancer, I'll just jump in and help them with that. Or if the front door is cancer, and inevitably we'll go to relationship stuff, but honestly, we don't get to the relationship stuff until we get to the, we got to calm the emotions first. So it's deciding what front door I start with is what I hear you saying, and not to flip flop what I'm advertising. What, so that's what I'm hearing you say.
And you have a real live person in front of you who wants and needs help. And so, and if you decide to put your hat on as a relationship coach, for instance, like, if a writer comes to me and says, Michelle, I understand you work with writers, I would actually tell them, well, I used to work with writers. I still do work with some writers because I love working with entrepreneurs who have a vision. So I would be very specific about my lane. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but writers who have something that they want to, like, let's have a strategy session, right? But I'm going to be specific about my lane. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you, and again, it's a deep inner investigation to figure this out, right? But don't flip-flop. And if you've got your stake in the ground, for instance, about relationship coaching, there's no harm in saying, well, actually where I, something of what I just said, actually what I'm doing, I'm so glad you reached out to me. What I'm doing these days, I help people with relationships, but man, I'm so glad you came to me. Like, because, you know, on the cancer journey, it's so hard navigating all those relationships you got to navigate, and with the doctors and most of all with yourself. Right. And so, and I got Diane, if you're listening later, I got your note. Thank you so much for this extra session. It is a bonus session. I'm a friend. Thank you. Thank you, Anna Maria, for still being here too. And Karen for this great question. So it's going to help and support everybody. So you hang your hat on the door. So then people, when they go to you in the front, they won't go, oh, I thought Karen was doing that. Now is she doing that? Confused mind. It will create a confused minds out there in the world. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to. If you put your stake in the, when you put your stake in the ground and say, oh, you know, right now, I'm so glad you got in touch with me. Yeah, I've done a lot of coaching with people on the cancer journey. I do relationship coaching now, but boy, people with, and go back right to their top of mind problem. Boy, do people have with cancer on the cancer journey have a lot of relationships negotiate? Like, how do you even talk to the doctor? Don't let me get started. Oh, hang on.
You're frozen. I can hear you, but your video is frozen.
Hey, yeah, okay, got it. So there was a glitch on the internet here. Give me one second.
Anna Marie is moving. I can see Anna Marie moving, but you're frozen.
Okay. But see, well, you know what? If you guys can still hear me.
We can still hear you. It's fine. We just can't see you now.
I'm just going to your phone. I'm just going to continue like this because
like a cartoon.
Somehow there's an internet glitch. It might have to do with the hotel and that now. Let me check and see. I think it might have been a time thing. Okay. Let's just finish off like this.
So I hear what you're saying, and it's certainly valid. So I just need to be with myself some more. But while I have you on the phone, can we talk about pricing? I have some ideas about what I've done in the past.
Yes, absolutely.
Specifically,
yeah,
because
you know what? I'm not even going to be able to. I don't think I can stop the recording. Like, give me one second. We're going to pause this for a bit because I'm going to get back in. I think I know what happened at my end. So you can jot down some questions that you have. We can stay here. I've rearranged my day so I've got this time to help you out. And again, it's going to help everybody hugely. So I'm pretty sure I know what to do to get back to, I think I know what happened. So I think it's a hotel glitch. So let me see if I can just give me 2 minutes to get back and jot down your questions and we'll continue. Okay, give me one sec. Yeah, it's because the internet dropped at the hotel here, but I can get it back again. So hang tight. And I'm not sure. I might end up with two of me talking at once. So we'll see if we can get this. I might end up both on the phone. Okay. So
got it. Okay, I'm just going to switch to, you guys can still hear me, right?
Yeah.
I switched the way my voice is coming through. All right. So thank you for your patience with that. So you got the piece about put, and it's so great, Anna Maria, that you're still able to be here too, because the horse and what your offer is such the perfect analogy, even though that's divisions among horse work kind of thing, and yours is actually different fields. We can see that for both of them, they can be overlap and relate and related. And we want people to know what we stand for. I have a huge background in Iyengar yoga. I bring that background to the work we do, but out there in the world, it's about story. And that's my PhD work. And that's what I used to teach. And so I hang my hat out there about story. And, but for me, they're highly integrated. It's part of what I've got lying around on the shop room floor. But if I say, oh, let me help you. Somebody's got, you know, a yoga thing and I'm going to do that. I'll let people know that that's part of my background, but I'm not going to hang my hat that way because people won't hear me. So I hang my hat with one thing. So you can do that inner investigation, because if you just decide definitively, and I know that you've got lots going on this week and so on, right? So, but take a week or so to, or even only because you've got a lot going on. Otherwise I would say decide, like I did with Anna Maria, decide right now, Anna Maria, in this 1 hour, and you did, right? Normally I would say that, but just for your particular circumstances, you know, give yourself some introspective time, but don't make it long. A day would be better. An hour would be better. You can do this, and just, you know, take the shortest time that you can that's in integrity with you, and then decide, and then don't flip-flop, right? So what's the follow-up question then? Because I know you want to ask about price.
So if I choose to work with them to do cancer coaching, how do I decide to price it? In the past, it's been, I know what I've charged and I know what the teachers of the cancer certification school charge. They charge more than I was, and it's an hourly fee. And I know how many sessions is the sweet spot. And then sometimes they add on and sometimes they don't. In the first 9 or 10 sessions, that's typically the package that I sell. I know that most of them, that's the price point that people were willing to buy. And I sold that for like $1,800 or $2,000 for like.
So here in this community, it's $5,000 and up. Figure out what you can offer for $5,000 and up. And don't underestimate what people will invest in. And also, you know, if that brings out scarcity mind, it's like, yeah, but what if they say no? We heard that earlier too about, what was it? I think it was Mary Kay and a client that could continue or not. So there was a whole segment that I just did in one of the Q&A calls recently, because like, yeah, but I don't want to lose her. And then we tend to want to over-deliver or undercharge or whatever it is. And the trouble with that, even though it seems like an easy route, because somebody's right in front of you and it creates business, what ends up happening is that same scarcity mind is the foundation then of that work together. And that scarcity mind is there in the price point that you offer. That scarcity mind is there in terms of what you think of as the value of your time and your work. And it slows you down tremendously, tremendously. And it takes you off course. And so, you know, that's why I said the price point is going to be easy. I'm going to say like $5,000 and up. And then it's the inner work to know that they have that capacity. And if you go, yeah, but people won't pay that much. I mean, this is not true. I mean, it's just not true. We impose smallness on other people. I mean, think of it this way. If somebody had walked up to you before we started having our conversations and asked you if you could invest, if you would invest the what you invested to be here, you probably, you, and without knowing anything about the work, you'd have said no. But that wasn't true. That's not what's possible for you. It's not what you're, you know, what you're able and wanting to do when you see what the transformation is, right? And as it is for and Marie, I think so much about you too. It's like, well, when you know how much the transformation matters, people will find their way to invest. And so anything in you that's scared and goes that they can't, well, all of the other decisions are going to come from that place that you're making, that they're making, that how you're seeing the world. And that's the same mind that creates a problem can't create the solution. Mm-hmm. May not be what you want to hear, because sometimes there's lots of ways. It reminds me again about people who say, you know, like the fastest path to cash or something like that. And one of our clients on one of our calls recently, I said, you know, he's a hypnotherapist, and somebody had told him, it wasn't, he didn't get that coaching on this campus, but he was talking to somebody else and then came to me with it. He's like, he's a hypnotherapist. And he said, like, he had, you know, put a stake in the ground to work with people who smoke and help them stop smoking, because that's where the money is in hypnotherapy. And I said, well, okay, well, let's figure out where you're going to find your ideal clients. Like, where do you bump into people who smoke? You walk on the beach a lot, you know, what do you know, do you see them there? And he's like, oh, I never see people who smoke. Well, how come? Oh, I can't stand people who smoke. I hate smoking. I, you know, no kidding, a real conversation. And it took a while for him to understand that this is not the fastest path to cash, because that's what people told him. And the fastest path to cash to grow, you know, growing our company can often, the thing that seems obvious is not it. He was sure that was the fastest path to grow his company, the fastest path to cash is what people were telling him. And that's where the money was, and that's how to do it. And it can be in that form, or it can be in the form of selling a really expensive horse, because hey, isn't that, you know, or the fastest path to cash, or that horse is really expensive, or fastest path to cash, they're already asking me, and it's a cancer work. But the damage that does in its ripple effect for your whole company will takes you months to recover from. And that's said too strongly, because I don't want to have you be fearful. But people do things, and we don't know the ripple effect of what's happening in the rest of our lives, and why the company, and that's the same mind that creates a problem, can't create the solution, and the ripple effect in scarcity, like, because it's like, well, that's what the market will bear. Well, what people generally charge in any particular industry, that's just your low point for the price point. Your high point is priceless. Like, what's this thing actually worth? I mean, think of the analogy of my mom and the person bleeding in the street. They're about to die. What's it worth? How can you put a price on that? And people are dying metaphorically all over the place. You know, that person who wants to compete, but like with Anna Maria, for instance, but feels that they feel that not unworthy, or they feel like their brother was always the one who got all the attention, so they feel small, or they had a previous teacher who said that the only way to do it is to, you know, beat yourself up, so they don't, their life is being destroyed, and they've, you know, had a string of bad relationships. So, you know, like, what's that worth? We think it's like, well, of course, because she's bleeding in the street, she's going to die. If we think that our work is worth less than that, we're not actually looking at the people in front of us and not actually seeing the pain they're in and what it means to them. And then the work is deeper dive into the transformation and deeper dive into the owning your work and what it is that you have to offer. And let's say in the end, for instance, let's say you gave them a $5,000 offer only if they're the right client, because you do this tribe decision, they might not be, you send them away. And let's say they go, oh, that's way too much money. They might just be reflecting back your own editor. And maybe instead they're going to be the wrong client, you send them away. Maybe they're the right client. They're going like, because they really understand the transformation. They go, 5,000? Are you kidding? Of course. Because the transformation is actually in the next person, you're going to charge double. Because that's what's really worth, and you're still seriously undercharging, right? So anything can happen, but what will happen is learning. And if it's being driven by scarcity, then that's why we've got the abundance half day retreat coming up in August, because I know that as we get out there on the court, we bump into that, and then we can Google abundance. But what is it to actually live it, and actually to have the courage not to live by the editor running the show? That's the underlying issue. because sometimes we run to the other work because it seems like I could have run back to the university as I was, as because it was so tempting. So tempting because they offered me the best ever, right? Like, I just had to put my stake in the ground. I was like, no, I said this. And then you've heard this part of the story. That's when my income was negative. My then partner lost their job. My body broke down. You know, I was like, you know, the universe sometimes like, no, I really mean this. Go through all that stuff, you know? And like, this is what I'm doing. I believe in this. This is it. So is this the universe tempting you back when you're already on course? You know, I don't mean like an evil universe. I just mean that opportunities will come your way when you let go. Opportunities come your way and now you're seeing them. Is this the actual opportunity that you want? How much time will it take away from building your business if you work with this person? And if you work with this person, well, then just make sure that that energy is coming back to you, that you can pour back into the your business. And I would not do it outside of the umbrella. It's got to be under the umbrella of what you do. Find a way to be have it be under the umbrella of what you do. Otherwise, it causes, you know, something not good. And again, that's going to happen in the course of the conversation. And it's going to be, you know, questions that you will ask. And there's different ways to get at the pain of people. Like, I know one of the one thing that my people on the cancer journey, like when I was working with them, the people in my course, one thing that drove them crazy is that out there in the world, they had to conform. And so they have to wear their wigs, and they would come into my class and they would come to Wellspring. They would immediately take their wigs off. They felt comfortable there. So you could see that as a wig issue, but everything can be seen through the lens of communication and relationship if you choose. They may come to you with a burning issue about wigs, for example. Maybe that's what they were trying to solve. It could be countless things, but I know that people in my course had, that was one of the things that was so hard. Maybe that's just, and they feel heartbroken that they're, that people will only see them or that they don't feel worthy themselves, whatever it is, right? So, but a wig issue is also communication, isn't it? It's hugely communication, because if you don't wear the wig, you have to talk to people and they're going to ask questions and they're going to, you know, react to you in a certain way, and that's hard. If you wear the wig, then maybe they feel like they gave up to societal norms, and then they're, how are they talking to themselves about it? And then that's hard, you know, like, and there's a multitude of other ways that it becomes a communication and relationship issue. So if they come to you with a wig problem, the solution can easily be over there in communication, only if it's authentic. You don't kind of sell them apples when they need oranges, you know, it's not like that. It's not imposing on people, but of course, communication and relationship are at the heart of everything. Those are stories. In my view, those are all stories at the heart of everything. Mm-hmm. And so when they come to you with these issues, you know, it's like they can all be understood as the people that you talk to. It's really hard, isn't it? That sometimes, this is what my people would say, that's harder than the cancer journey diagnosis and, you know, fear of mortality itself is dealing with all the people around. And that you know that deeply from experience, and they will know that. And then the solution that they're going to want, you know, if they really want to face their own mortality and you don't feel equipped with that, you might even send them away, even though it's a cancer issue. Or maybe you are equipped for that and you want to help them with that. But mortality is like, how do I talk to myself about that so I can come to peace? And it's still a communication issue. So may not be the answer you want to hear, but I want to tell you the answer that really, from where I sit, is the one that helps and serves. And if it's going like, yeah, but I might lose a sale if it's not $2,000, because that's what I've done before. I'm like, oh, then it's giving you rich possibility of investigation of what's the scarcity in that that's making you tell yourself that story.
Yeah.
I mean, think of how much, and then think of Heidi with trying to help with her son, Ethan, her autistic son, Ethan, and how she's invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to help, right? And then think about people who look for solutions to cancer and they fly across the world at the drop of a hat, some, you know, often, right? And seek this treatment, and then they'll go to this center, and then they'll, you know, mm-hmm. Think of my cousin with eye issues. It's not cancer, but a health issue. I mean, people who really see what the issue is, of course they're willing to invest. What could be more important? What are you gonna do with that money? Buy pizza? You know, like, what else could be more important? And when you own that, and then frame it in terms of relationship, if that's where you want to put your stake in the ground for yourself, and then the questions, and then they'll be ready for that solution. And only if it's a genuine solution. If it's like, I really need to find a mortician. I'm, you know, if it's really bad cancer, it's like, I'm going to die tomorrow. We don't pretend. We go like, hey, here's the phone number for a mortician. I really need to find somebody who can tell people why natural is so much, is so good, because my family's down my throat. That might be a communication issue, but it might not be. I just need to know somebody who is deep in the health field who will come talk to my family. You refer them to somewhere else, or vice versa. People will talk to them about chemo. I'm not trying to judge about what they are choosing. You authentically in real life help them. And this and anything else, you stand for the value of it. And that's the inner journey. Mm-hmm. Might not be the answer you wanted to hear, but is that helpful?
You've given me lots to think about. I think I just need to sit with myself today. Yes.
Yeah. There's lots that's going on. And for you, I know. And thank you.
There's even more that I haven't even told you about. So.
Right. Okay. Got it.
I really just need to sit with myself for a day or two or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Take really good care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Really good care of yourself. And sometimes our best action is, you know, going out for a day-long hike. I know you love to hike, right? Mm-hmm. It might be having a nice breakfast. It might be having a nap. So sometimes that is, and then because I know something of what's going on for you, that may well be your best next action. And then don't think that you're not doing something that's crucial, not only for yourself, but for your company. Because when you actually talk to that person, thank you, Anna Maria. Yeah, we're going to be leaving in just a minute here. We'll be cropping up. Thank you for being here. So when you are talking to that person, one of the very first things I know too is the people that I work with on the cancer journey, they were exhausted. Mm-hmm. And how can you talk to them about helping themselves? And because I know there's got to be exhaustion in you right now, a lot going on, right? A lot of fatigue, I would guess. How could you talk to them and say, please take care of yourself and be helping them take care of themselves through your work if you don't do it yourself first, right? So that is a move in, you know, an action in deep integrity for you, given your, you know, everything that's going on for you right now. And from that place, you'll be able to hold that strategy session, and you could book it for next week. And also, if they're that urgent, that's like, it's got to be now. Like, that's somebody who's really demanding too, you know, it's got to be now, or I don't want to talk to you because don't you have time for me? You know, like,
yeah, no, they're just excited that they, oh, you do this, let's talk kind of thing. It's not like it's urgent. It's just like, oh, I found somebody.
Yeah. So you can book it for even, you know, next week, book it for Monday, because then it gives you some time and space.
Yeah.
And one of the things you can gently do is, you know, send them a little questionnaire if you want, after you've rested. You can spend the time. I think if you book the call, that will probably feel good. Listen to yourself, right? And then book the call, and then if, you know, when you have the energy, take care of yourself first, right? Mm-hmm. If you book it, say for Monday or Tuesday, because they're excited, you know, then you might think of some questions you want to ask them. Like, what's the biggest challenge you want to work with?
I have a whole thing. My first call, I do these things, and my second call, I do these things, and after that, it's different. But yeah, because there's a structure. I need to find out what it is they need, where are they on their cancer journey, and
exactly
that kind of thing. So I have a whole structure about how to do it. I'm not worried about that. It's the bigger question is, where am I put my stake in the ground?
The big question is cancer journey or relationship coaching, and choosing that authentically. And it, either way, you can talk to them. For some listening afterwards, like, be mindful, ask me about it directly if you're going to do that, because it's a tricky thing that I'm coaching you on here. So keep in your lane. But because of a whole bunch of circumstances, I'm suggesting this. Normally, I would just say, don't even do it. Don't even think about it. Right? For you, I want to give an option. But for most people, I'm like, I wouldn't even think about it for all the reasons I said. Mm-hmm. For you, if you want to do it, and you know, then do it with all the things I just coached on in mind. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Helpful for now?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. You're so welcome. Thanks everybody for listening to the recording. I know that there's a lot to learn about sales and growing our company and taking care of ourselves, you know, because that's a big piece about how we do strategy sessions as well. If you're exhausted, that person is exhausted, like, rebook so you have a clear mind to actually serve and support them. Okay, thanks.
Right.